Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two, it's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to Jeff Passan and all the latest Red Sox rumors, but I was going through the full Don Van Natta story in the last break. There's a lot that I forgot about with Belichick and Kraft.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember you brought up the Dynasty, Apple TV. Bill was obviously pissed about that.
Yeah, it went sideways.
Bill is pissed because Kraft talked him to Arthur Blank and pretty much talked him out of hiring Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, which I remembered. I kind of forgot about the story, Keith, where Kraft, and I forget the outlet, and this is all detailed in Van Natta's latest. It's a recap. It might have been his own report. But Kraft said he took a risk in hiring Belichick.
Yeah, that was on the Breakfast Club, wasn't it?
Is that what it was?
Maybe.
So. I think that's the same time he said he had to fire him.
Yes, like he let that out than the mutually parted ways.
We didn't mutually part. I fired him.
you're off script.
I took a big risk in hiring him. And Bill goes, well, actually, I'm the one who took the big risk in going to New England. It was a trash franchise.
Yeah,
by the way, they don't spend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, and I had to make that work. And so some stuff in there I kind of forgot about. But anyway, here's some new reporting from Van Natta on Belichick and Kraft both advancing in the Hall of Fame process. They're both finalists. And they're going against Ken Anderson and Roger Craig and somebody
else. L.C. Greenwood.
Is that who it was?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
He might get in this year.
We've been waiting. We've been clamoring for L.C. Greenwood to get in there.
He's got my vote.
So let me just read this quick, and then we get to the Sox. While sources with knowledge of the voting process told ESPN that Kraft's fate with the 50 Hall of Fame voters is far from certain, they say Belichick is believed to be a favorite for induction. His NFL coaching record of 333 and 178, including playoffs, second all-time, only to Don Shula's 347. Two 9-member committees, one for coaches, the other for contributors, selected Kraft and Belichick for consideration by the Hall voters next month. If both Belichick and Kraft win 80% of the total vote, the two men would be inducted side-by-side in Canton next summer.
Incredible.
Quote from a veteran Hall of Fame voter on Tuesday night. You could have a delicious moment where Kraft and Belichick get bussed together. Nice. I'd pay a lot of money to watch that. How awkward would that be?
It'd be so awkward, and it'd be incredible. It'd be good theater.
That's almost better, than one of them like getting left out and having to be jealous of the other. Right. They both get in and have to share the dais together.
Because at first, when this whole process was playing out, I was like, oh, there's only one, and so Bill is going to prevent Robert from getting in once again. And we've both maintained this for a long time, but just to clarify again, owners, really, in my mind, shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but if you are going to put them in, then yes, Robert Kraft should be. Bill Belichick obviously should be a Hall of Famer, so Bill's going to get in the first crack for whatever reason, number of different reasons, and we've gone over them in years past, grudges, whatever it might be. Robert Kraft hasn't gotten in. But for him to get in the same year as Bill, he'd be happy that he's in, don't get me wrong. But how pissed would he be to have to share the day with Belichick?
Okay, well, he would act fake nice, though.
He would do what he did at the photos.
He would do what he did at the Brady roast, where he'd act like they're all good.
I'm talking about for real.
Or at his at the Belichick firing press conference.
Yeah.
He would act nicey-nice. Bill wouldn't do anything.
Or the roast. Remember he tried to like hug him at the roast to Tom Brady, and Bill's like,
let's
out
do
of
a
here.
Shot.
Yeah. Get out of my face.
Bill was ready to throw it in his face.
Correct.
So Bill
will have a harder time being fake about it. Robert 100% will take a photo, and he'll be able to frame that photo and put it up. And like, see, no hard feelings. But deep down, he'd be like, I got to share the day with this guy?
And I think he would be seating greater than 50% of the spotlight.
Plus,
right?
Bill
would get almost all of the discussion about that, and Kraft would be a footnote, which he really would have an issue with. Yes.
Big time, because then it'd be like, Robert Kraft, you finally get in, and like, the main reason you're in is because you had this guy, you know, and then it would just it'd be pretty amazing. And you wonder if some of these voters, because they all have their own, you know, vendettas or whatever else. Oh. I wonder if part of them are like, you know what? This is what's going to happen. We are going to vote you in this year, but along with Bill.
Screw you two.
Yeah, right. You guys deserve each other.
You guys are going in together.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Bill thinks that's way beneath. Like, Bill.
Bill's like, why are the owners even in here, probably?
Well, I agree with Belichick.
I do too. Well, I do too.
Like, it's like, who? Kraft had borderline nothing to do with the dynasty. He owns the team.
Yeah.
And he didn't really spend on it. The borderline nothing to do with it. Look, that's harsh. He's the one who brought in Bill. But, like, if you're ranking them, it's Brady by a mile, then it's Belichick by a mile,
yeah,
and then it's Kraft third.
Yep, and then Wiggy.
Fourth. Wiggy would be fourth for me. Yeah.
Snowball.
Good text here, 617-779-7937. Can you imagine the content you guys would get from Jordan at the Hall of Fame induction?
Oh, my God.
And will she
also
sit,
that, too.
Will she sit next to Jonathan?
I don't know. But, yeah, to add that little layer to it. I haven't even thought of that.
Just her, to use Vrabel's word, prancing around. At the Hall of Fame.
Would Brady go down to induct both of them?
Good question.
I mean, he might.
She is my muse, my flame.
What do you have to pick?
I think Jordan would induct Bill. Jordan gets up there and starts reading from her Adobe Photoshop.
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
She jumps in front of Steve.
Just written by ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, when Bill won his first Super Bowl, I was told about it because I wasn't alive, but...
I heard about it.
I heard good things.
My parents, who are much younger than him, told me about it.
Yeah.
Because each voter can select only three finalists, multiple sources among the voters say it's possible, maybe even probable, Belichick could get elected but not Kraft, or vice versa.
Yeah, but how many votes do you get?
You can only vote for three. So you get, out of the five, every voter can only vote for three.
Okay. But, like, some maybe will only vote for one or two.
Correct. You can vote to up to three. So some voters may say, I'm only voting for one. I'm only voting for two. I'm voting for neither of these guys because of their cheating or whatever, which is stupid. Last year, Kraft was seen as a favorite but was snubbed by the Contributors Committee, which selected NFL co-founder Ralph Hay. I mean, that was dumb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That decision enraged many of Kraft's supporters among Hall of Fame voters, including Bill Polian, Peter King, and Sal Pell.
Oh, Palantonio.
So we're naming names here.
Yeah.
King, Polian, and Sal Pell. Why are they so...
They're upset.
...favorable and biased towards Kraft?
By the way, so the three other guys that are on there that could prevent one of them from getting in. So Elsie Greenwood was on the Steel Curtain defense for the Steelers. I feel like that entire Steelers team is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so he's not. So what happens is... This is not just contributors. It's also like a senior committee. So that's why, like, Roger Craig, everybody knows who... Like... So it's not just coaches against coaches and owners against owners and, like, whatever else. So you do have a couple of players that maybe could sneak in there. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion, six-time Pro Bowler, all-decade 1970s team.
He's
on the all-time Steelers team.
All due respect. I didn't even know where he played. All due respect. You're not in yet. You probably missed your window on that one, is what I would say.
I would tend to agree, but, like, I also didn't think Ralph Hay was going to get in last year.
But that was also stupid.
That was
dumb.
But I'm just saying, there is precedent for stupidity, therefore, you know, it might be Ken Anderson and Roger Craig.
Ken Anderson. I mean,
Belichick to me is a 100% in. I think every single guy is going to vote for Belichick. I don't know about Kraft because he's been held out this long. This is Belichick's first crack. Like, to your point of those other guys, they've all had an opportunity to get in except for Bill.
Kraft has been at it for 14 years campaigning. Yeah. He's never even been a finalist.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a sign that he's going to get in or if that's just a sign that it's been working against him and now the Bill's on the ballot. He's going to have to keep waiting.
I know.
But it would be great to see them go in together. I hadn't considered that.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Just going off Breer a month or so ago, he's like, it's pretty much going to come down to one spot. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I don't know how the voting is going to play out. But it sounds like Bill has the leg up for sure. 617-779-7937. We'll get some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday, 11:30. We have the hashtag Dorkman at 11:45 and Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon talking Celtics. I'll break down the X's and O's. I don't know if I mentioned this today. I was in the building. Did I bring that up? No. Oh. I saw him. If I borrowed your binoculars from training camp, I could have seen him down there.
Oh, yeah, because you were up. High.
It was a night higher up in the stands than the last time I went.
Yeah, did you get an altitude headache?
No. Okay. Well, almost. I was pretty lightheaded when my Jordan Walsh bet cashed.
Ooh.
I gotta be honest, betting on some of these guys.
Did you get over 5 points?
I bet him 4 or 6 rebounds.
6 boards. Yeah. Jordan Walsh, 6 board game.
Parlayed that with a Josh Minot 3. Easy money on the Minot.
Oh, you're stealing.
I was sweating out Walsh though. It was a
lawnmower 3.
If you went back If you went back and rewatched the game, yeah. you could hear two men shrieking in the 300s when Walsh grabbed a sixth rebound. You could easily hear
it. Whatever gets you into the game.
So we'll get to that with Terp at high noon. All your phone calls, 617-779-7937. On the Red Sox, Keith. Well, we have this right off the bat. I like getting your guy, Jim Bowden.
Ralph.
Yeah. He says the most likely landing spots for Pete Alonso are the Red Sox and Mets.
Woo!
So that's promising.
Pete Alonso, the polar bear, almost a perfect fit.
And don't you kind of think he's done with New York?
Yeah, because they didn't give him the big extension last year or a new contract last year.
And you're going to have to pay him. I mean, yeah. I'm not telling you he's coming here on a discount, but I think all things being equal, I feel like he's kind of done with
it. Plus, if you're Pete Alonso and they just gave Juan Soto over $700 million and they're like fighting over whatever it is with him, I would be like, all right, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, again, all things
being
equal.
Now, the Mets have money and the Mets do spend, so like if you're getting into a bidding war with them and they really want him, I mean, they might go higher than the Red Sox are willing to go, but... Yeah, maybe he just wants out of there. Maybe he's like, all right, I've done this. I've been on the Mets for a long time now. Let me try somewhere else.
And they haven't wanted to pay me. They've had their opportunities to pay me. So, again, all things being equal, you have to pony up the money. You're not going to get him on a discount. If the Mets blow you out of the water, he'll go back there. But if it's really down to the Red Sox and the Mets, I honestly like the Red Sox chances there. Right. And I know the tracker record with John Henry. I know it. But I like their chances there if your guy Ralph, the Twitter egg, is right. Meanwhile, Jeff Passan yesterday had the top 25 trade candidates heading into the winter meetings.
Okay,
Keith.
I like this. Different list than the free agents. We all know the free agents at this point. So who are the trade candidates? Okay. You need a little bit more sourcing for this. This isn't just like, let me pull up the free agents. This
no, it's
is
true.
Like, who might actually
you
got
to talk to people around Good. The league. So what he does, Keith, is he ranks them 1 to 25 with some honorable mentions. And he gives you a percentage they get traded.
Okay, I like that.
And potential teams they could get traded to.
Good stuff. Good exercise.
There are Red Sox targets on this list and Red Sox trade away candidates. Which would you like first?
Give me the trade away candidates. I assume I know who they are, but give me those guys first.
It's Duran,
yeah.
Abreu, Casas, 7, 13, and an honorable mention.
Huh.
He has Duran at a 50% chance of moving, Abreu at a 50% chance of moving. And very similar teams they could get dealt to. The Tigers, the Giants, the Pirates, the Phillies, the Mets, the Royals.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of overlap. There's a few different teams on there, but there's a lot of overlap. The interesting note on Duran, real quick, He says the Red Sox are valuing Duran more like a 7-win player of 2024 than his 4-win version of 2025, his WAR stat.
Yep.
So basically, he's saying
they're asking for a lot.
They're overvaluing him. And
that can change.
His name has come up. Alex Speer had a report over the weekend. Cole Reagans, my pick for the Cy Young last year. That did not cash.
Didn't hit, but he's good.
He's really good.
I like Reagans.
Another strikeout lefty. He'd be coming off an injury.
All right.
But the Royals are on both these lists. So let's kind of combine the reports here. Passan thinks it's likely, as likely, Duran or Abreu could move. And maybe because they're overvaluing Duran, It's more likely they'd move Abreu. Cotillo made the point yesterday at Mass Live. He's like, they should consider Rafaela on top of it. If teams are hitting a bit of a wall and they're saying, well, we like Abreu, you're overvaluing Duran, maybe it's worth expanding your horizon and looking at Rafaela. I'd want to trade him the least out of those three.
Definitely the least.
But maybe it's worth that. We know one of these guys is moving. Is part of the reason it hasn't happened yet, Keith, because they're overvaluing Duran, and is that the right approach?
I don't want to just give him away. Right? Like, I'm done with him. I'm ready for him to go somewhere else. If you get a lot more for Willie or Abreu, though, I would do that. Right? I'm not, like, married to Abreu or I'm right. like, you have to get rid of Duran.
If the Royals are, like, no on Duran for Cole Reagans,
yeah.
but they're, like, they say yes on Abreu,
I'd do that in a second.
I also would do that.
It does feel, though, that, like, Duran might be kind of done here, or is it maybe just how badly the playoffs went and how the end of the season went? He's no longer your leadoff hitter. He's pretty shaky in the field, especially compared to Rafaela and Abreu. There's a logjam there. I don't think, even at the trade deadline, we were wondering if they're going to deal one of those guys. They didn't, which was smart because, you know, Roman Anthony got hurt. But I don't know if you can go into a full season with that. And Alex Cora just jumbling four everyday outfielders for three spots. And I don't think you can really do that.
No one's going to be happy.
No. So I think they have to move on from one of those guys. I am glad, though, that Abreu is at least on that list because it seemed like for months it was like Duran. Like they're gonna move on. Yeah, great band.
Nice.
They were hungry like the wolf to move on from Jaren. But yeah, get whatever the best you can get. I didn't want to trade him for prospects, though, at the deadline. So I get why they would value him. He's 2 years removed from top 10 MVP votes.
Yeah, something Rafael Devers
has never done.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that, but he's never done that.
That's my favorite stat. That's my stat of the year every year until he's able to actually be a top 10 MVP. But, no, I like that. The Tristan Casas part of it is obviously like you're selling so low that neither one of us would cry if he was gone. But it almost feels like if you could get, obviously, like Tarek Skubal is like the piece. But if Durant and Casas help get you him, then you're like, all right, great. So no matter how Detroit views him, you're obviously going to have to include a lot of like stud minor leaguers. But if the two like major leaguers that go and you convince yourself that like, oh, they obviously value those guys really high because he was able to then get this massive return of Skubal, then I would do that. But if it's just trading Casas for another broken down player somewhere else or another like single A player, I'd be like, I guess you just keep him.
So we mentioned Cole Reagans, and I would deal either of those guys for him. I would rather deal Durant.
But where are you on Rafael real quick? I don't think I'd really be in any hurry to trade him.
No, I would want to trade him the least, but again, you're telling me I could get someone like Cole Reagans, who was an all-star 2 years ago, fourth in the Cy Young, and then he was hurt last year. And in fairness, he was not pitching great before he got hurt. But he's another strikeout lefty. He went 3.14 ERA. He had 223 strikeouts in 186 innings for the Royals in 2024. He feels a bit like Crochet. Now, he's not the same build. He's 6'4", 190. But he feels a bit like Crochet, where he was a reliever. He transitioned to starter. He was awesome. He hasn't really done it and proved the track record yet.
A lot of team control with him, different than some of these other guys.
I think he would be worth trading really any of those outfielders for, but I would prioritize it Duran, followed by Abreu, followed by Rafaela last, although Spear also reported they want a righty bat. What about Campbell? Would you throw Campbell in a deal for him?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
I would rather trade Campbell than Rafaela.
So, me too.
Yeah.
I would probably... Well... I'd probably rather trade Durant than Campbell, actually. I take that back. But Campbell, if the Royals valued him and that's a righty bat they're looking for and he's locked up long-term for a small market team, that would be the kind of deal I would do.
No, there's a lot of guys that I mean, that's sort of the thing about the last few years. And even Chaim Bloom deserves some credit for this, I guess. Like, starting to stock the farm system. They have a lot of young guys, and they can't all play. Even, like, you get into, like, the password and some of the other guys they have currently in the minor leagues. Where are they going to play? And also, depending on what you do in free agency, too. Like, we'll get into those guys, but, like, Bregman, Alonso, whatever, Schwarber, like, all these guys, that also, there's another spot. So, like, where are you going to even play some of these guys? So if you're able to move on from one, two, or three of them and get someone like Cole Reagans, I'm in on that.
Well, and Campbell, I think the second base dream is dead. He's just an outfielder. So, right,
another outfielder.
Where does he even fit in the big picture? All right, so those are some trade-away candidates. The trade fours.
Yep.
There are two that I find very, very interesting. There's a third name that I find less interesting.
All right.
Tarek Skubal, the number one trade candidate on Passan's list, although he says 10% he moves.
It's okay.
The teams he could move to, Keith, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Orioles, the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox.
Yes, sir.
And the Giants. That's the order he listed them in.
Right.
It's not alphabetical. I don't know if he's kind of handicapping it or not.
Yeah.
10% chance he moves. The Red Sox are on his list. Red Sox are also on the list for, and they're the first name mentioned here, Joe Ryan. 50-50 chance he moves, according to Passan. Red Sox, Mets, Orioles, Rangers, Giants, Angels, in that order.
All right. I mean, if you get one of those two guys, you're really cooking with gas. It goes back to our conversation when they acquired Sonny Gray. You're like, I'd like the Sonny Gray move a lot more if they get even another guy. If it's just Sonny Gray, all right, you know, Bale's going to have a really good year. You know, Connelly Early's going to have a really good year, whatever it is. So if they can get one of those two guys, I know the Joe Ryan conversation has been going on forever. People might even be sick of it. We were talking about it during the whole deadline, after the deadline, start of the offseason, and it continues. But yeah, I'd be in favor of either one. Now, I don't think they're close, though, in like how good they are. And I know that's not a hot take. Tarek Skubal is like leaps and bounds better than Ryan.
There's like three elite pitchers, and you would have two of them if you had Skubal and Crochet.
And that's why
Ryan's a really good number two. I don't even know if he's not a number one.
So that's why, like, when you're talking about trade packages, for example, Tarek Skubal, I mean, assuming you're holding on to Roman Anthony and Garrett Crochet, which you would be, I think everybody is available. Whereas with Joe Ryan, I don't want to go nuts. Like, I'd make a very competitive trade offer for him, and then I'd sign him to whatever he wants once you get him. But, like, I'm not looking at the Twins and saying, pick your five favorite guys in our system. Like, I'm not doing that. Whereas with Scooble, you're like, go ahead. Unload. Take all the players you want.
I agree with that, too. And the Twitch chat is saying, well, they're not going to go into the luxury tax, or they're not going to go into the second level of the luxury tax, but they're going to turn around and trade for Scooble and pay him? Maybe not. I mean, maybe he's a rental and you play that one out. And
so that's the dangerous game with him. He's a Boris guy, right?
Yeah.
He's going to hit free agency. But again, they also did this in a much smaller scale. But they did it with Bregman. They brought in Bregman, and they were committed for 3 years, but they knew that he might be a one-and-done. They even traded away Devers knowing that he might be a one-and-done. So I think with Scooble, I mean, the Sonny Gray move is very much, well, clearly it's for 2026. That's it. Scooble, now this also gets into your back and forth with Detroit, and you're like, hey, if we can't sign him, we're not going to throw you Peyton Tolley and Connolly early and this guy and that guy. Like, he might walk. So maybe you don't have to give up as much. You still have to have a very, very, very competitive offer. But that would be in line with going for it in 2026 and then seeing where the chips fall. If he's awesome and loves Boston, all right, make him an offer. You had $75 million or whatever it was committed to Devers and Bregman for this year. That was on the book. You were ready to pay that, and now that's all gone. Or potentially with Bregman, it's gone.
I mean, if you don't think the Red Sox are on the short list for Scooble, then take it up with Passan. I'm just reading what he wrote. But he's got the Red Sox on the short list.
I choose to view this positively because he puts only a 10% chance on Scooble, but then he says, like, Duran and Abreu are 50%. But what he's doing there is he's kind of, like, hedging his bet because there's probably a 100% chance one of those guys is gone. Right? Yep. Just add that number. So maybe the 10% chance is a little bit low. Maybe it's better.
617-779-7937. The other name on the list is a trade target that did not excite me at all is Brendan Donovan from the Cardinals.
Brendan Donovan. Call Heim Bloom up again.
770.
Get another deal done.
This is why I assume that one's not going to happen with the Red Sox, because they've already dealt with the Cardinals once, and you probably could have rolled it into a larger deal.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, he's like a 10-homer, 280 guy. On the infield. I'm not saying that's worthless, but
10 big flies?
Last year, 10
ding dongs?
14 the year prior, Keith.
Yeah, it's cooling off.
11 the year before that.
He's consistent.
He's going to sock in maybe 10 dingers.
And he could be the random player 10 years from now.
617-779-7937. More your feedback coming up. Hashtag Dork Minute, 1145. Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon and on the way next, right after Trending with Billy Lanny. Would You Rathers on a Wednesday.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies.
at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Terp was just in here. We'll do Pure Hoops.
Pure Hoops coming up.
With Terp coming up at high noon. We got the hashtag Dork Minute on the way 15 minutes from now, so stay tuned for that. But let's get to some Would You Rathers. Billy, what's first up?
Would you rather have Jaylen Brown or Jalen Brunson?
Ooh, you were there in the house, both of them playing last night. Two of the best Jalens in the league for sure.
I'd say top two Jalens. Jalen Johnson?
Jalen Johnson.
Nice player. Having a nice season.
Making a case.
Yeah, it's a good
making
point.
Making a case.
Well, let's rewind real quick.
Yeah.
Entering the year, how would
Jalen Williams, actually.
Oh, good one.
Jalen Williams is legit.
Real nice. There's two Jalen Williams. All right, we got our Jalen Mount Rushmore. Entering the year, how would you have answered that, Keith?
Entering the year, I might have said Brunson. But right now, I'm actually going to say Jaylen Brown. And I know this sounds like a homer take.
No, but I think that's interesting because I think I would have answered it the same way in the offseason and the same way now. I think the way it's going, you get to see Jaylen as a number one.
Yeah.
And Brunson's just so tiny, that's hard. I like him a lot. But now I got to pick.
Well, it's funny. Speaking of Terp, a couple weeks ago he was in, and he's like, I think Brown's playing like an all-NBA player. And I was like, well, and I was like, because I care about that stuff, and I'm into that stuff, like which players make it, which players don't.
Me too.
And,
I think people who don't care about that are nuts. I also
weird.
Care about
it's
that.
Only about the titles. Yeah. Yeah. No, like, whatever. I like the player versus player debates and all that stuff. And so I'm looking at it, and you're like, yeah. And it was early in the season, but you're like, if they're not a playoff team, it's going to be hard to make all-NBA. Like, as much as points, rebounds, assists, VORP and every other stat matters, so do wins. And usually the players that win a lot get honored with those all-NBAs. And now that they've won some tough games, they've beaten some good teams, he's been scoring 40 like every night. And also, I think in the playoffs, when every possession matters and on both ends of the floor, and we've seen little guys get sort of
that's
abused.
100% it. That's 100%.
So that's why I can't go. Brunson's awesome. And there was a stretch for like 3 years, he was the most underrated player in basketball. And he's a great story. Like, everybody always counted him out. They didn't think he was going to be great at Villanova. They didn't think he was going to be great. He's just awesome. He's a guy's a winner. But he's little. It's like kind of like Kemba Walker style, where you're like, oh, you can just kind of go at him. And he's not as small as like Isaiah Thomas, but like,
but there,
you can kind of take advantage of him where you can't with Jaylen Brown.
And they're close enough.
Yeah.
Like in the NBA hierarchy, where you can kind of pick and choose based on that. I'd take Brunson over a lot of guys in the NBA.
Same.
But now him and Jaylen are pretty similar, Jaylen Brown.
I think they're both like all NBA contenders these last handful of years. And like Brunson's made a couple of second teams. Brown made it once, famously, so he could get a supermax. But I don't think it's just a homer take to say, give me Brown over Brunson.
And I think your analysis was accurate.
Thank you.
When you were saying when they have a losing record and they might be in the lottery.
Yeah, you're
like, it's going to be hard to be an all-NBA player, but they're playing better. He's a big reason for that, although Dark and Stormy Nights in the Twitch chat is right. Jaylen couldn't have started the game worse.
The team couldn't have started the game worse.
I mean, but him specifically. Horrible turnovers.
Brown, like, you mean.
Jaylen Brown.
A lot of good Jaylens.
Correct. There are so many good Jaylens. Couldn't have started the game worse last night, but great game overall. The turnover count is high. I think he is, and he said this after the game, I do think he's growing into learning how to be more of a number one. So I would answer that differently in the offseason. I would answer it Jaylen Brown now. What else, Billy?
Would you rather Alex Bregman or Kyle Schwarber?
All right, so Bregman.
Schwarber.
Wow, you're honestly kind of down on Bregman.
You know what I'm up on is home runs.
No, I get that.
Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber are rolling out of bed, socking 45 to 55 dongs. They're not going to play you a great first base. In fact, Schwarber might not even play in the field.
No, I mean, they might both be DHs.
They might both be DHs. But Bregman was, I don't know, he missed 50 games, which is like, I don't know if he's going to play 150 next year or not. I like Bregman, and it's just these are two examples of guys I would rather have. I'd rather spend my money on a big bopper, hit him third or fourth in the lineup, although Schwarber hit like leadoff a lot. But whatever.
Who do you think gets more money, Schwarber or Bregman?
Bregman.
Me too. So, like, honestly, if you want to make that case that Schwarber is going to bop you 50 and cost you less, I get it. I just think Bregman, and he had a rocky start in April last year, and you're right with the injuries, he missed games. But I just think there is such a value in what he brings
to the team.
No, but that's because he was hurt.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'd imagine he's healed up in the offseason. It doesn't mean he won't get hurt again.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to be running like that to start the year. I hope not.
It's like me in my backyard.
If so, I'd want my money back. But no, I just
bring the receipt to him. We can't.
I just think there's value that he brings defensively. Never mind the intangibles with leadership and everything else. They've all been on winning teams, meaning
playoff teams. Bregman is a winner, yeah. has won constantly in the playoffs, hardly ever misses. So,
well, one thing that I'm
I value
against,
all that, but yeah. Schwarber and Alonso have all been in big games too.
And one Schwarber's thing, won.
Yeah, Schwarber's Schwarber won. Has definitely Alonso won. Has not, but he's been right. in a bunch of big games.
Yeah. No, but one thing that I'm holding against Bregman, which is 100% not his fault, it's just there's so much of the, hey, let's run it back if he's on the team, whereas like at least it's new blood and it's guys that are going to hit a ton of home runs.
Yeah,
that you feel like the lineup
there'd be
is
more
better.
Excitement around Alonso yeah. and Schwarber than Bregman, which just feels like you're running it back. I yeah, agree yeah, with yeah. you on that, yeah. but I would take Bregman over Schwarber. What else?
Would you rather go to a zoo or a safari?
Ooh, I've been to a zoo, brag.
Wow.
Never been to a safari, reverse brag.
yeah, no, I've never done safari.
Or been on a safari, rather. Yes.
I honestly, I love animals. I also want to just kind of leave them alone. Like, I don't love when they're in zoos. Now, I guess some zoos do good work, and they're, like, rehabilitating some of them. Others just seem like they're being, like, kidnapped or, like, held hostage. So I don't love that aspect of it. We had the story yesterday where the guy jumped into the lioness.
Mm-hmm.
Dan was mauled to death. But, like, a safari, also, you see some of those stories where they're, like, they're in, like, a Jeep, and they're going around. It's like, oh, here go. Oh, look how close the rhinoceros is. Oh, he's kind of knocking over the Jeep. Like, neither seem all that appealing. You got to go on, like, a long flight to do a safari. You
I just feel like the videos of the people on safaris where the animals are, like, basically kicking in the window well, so yeah. they can eat.
Yeah, yeah, well, this...
yeah, I don't
but,
love
like,
that.
I mean, if animals can smell fear, they would smell it all over me if I was on a safari.
You're covered in it.
Because, like...
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, I need a change of pants. So, I mean, they would smell it all over me. At a zoo, I'm going to be pretty calm, and I'm not going to be too worried.
You should
I'm not going to be climbing in like this moron
scale
the
offense?
Other day. No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
So, I...
You can see some cool stuff, but then you also just kind of feel bad. They're just kind of like laying around.
At
They're
a zoo.
In a zoo.
Yeah, but do you feel bad at all if you're on safari and you're out there?
I don't
there,
feel bad, you're but I might be a little nervous.
Yeah, but you're on their turf.
That's their turf.
And you're invading their turf. You're yeah. kind of upsetting whatever they're doing when you're out there.
And they
as
also
what?
Have their freedom on a safari.
They do have their freedom.
They have their freedom.
Yeah,
a
they
safari.
Don't have to walk over trapped. To your truck. That's true.
Yeah, get over here. But they might.
So what would I rather?
I guess
I do think my answer is safari.
Yeah, oddly enough.
But there's a chance I'm dying. And so I think I'm willing
it's
to
a
take
risk.
I'm willing to take that chance.
Yeah.
To go on a safari.
Maybe dive and see a giraffe drinking out of a stream in the wild or go to a zoo yeah. and see, like, a sad lion.
Is that Davis Mills at the watering hole?
No, that's, like, an actual giraffe.
No, it's
giraffe. A real giraffe.
Okay,
you can see
good.
A lion maul a gazelle or something and, like, tear it to pieces.
That'd be cool.
Or you can
the
see
the person next to you.
Yeah, or you never know.
Honestly, the person next to me I have no problem with. I'm worried about me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay.
Or just eating, like, fast food hamburgers, sad in a pen.
Reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
Safari.
Still, yeah, I'm still going safari.
The answer's safari. Okay, good. What's our last one?
Would you rather year-long eggnog or candy canes?
Candy canes, I guess. I don't really like either.
Put me down for nog.
All year?
Yeah. I mean, my cholesterol's already higher
Keith,
than
you
it
would
needs
be,
to be.
You would yeah. be host of the week every week if it was
true.
If it was eggnog year-round.
But I love the taste of eggnog. I got eggnog in my house right now, Brad.
Don't you think you love it because...
No, not just the booze. I do booze, eggnog, and regular eggnog.
No,
is that what you're going to say?
It's not the alcohol.
It's not that.
I can drink
I
it.
I don't have a problem.
I can drink
you
it.
You have a problem. The alcohol.
I can stop
three, Mississippi
walking.
4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi 6, Mississippi 7, Mississippi 8, Mississippi.
Billy's right. I can stop whenever. I can stop whenever I want. I don't have a problem.
Not going to today, but I could.
How dare you? No, I wasn't going to ask about the alcohol. I was going to say, do you think part of the reason you like the eggnog is because it's seasonal and because it's like a nice little treat?
Yes.
Whereas if you drank it every day,
yes.
you would absolutely get sick of it.
My heart would explode.
Yeah.
Or it would just stop. It wouldn't explode. It would just...
Yeah.
It's like it's too clogged in yeah. here. Yeah, but like I don't really... Candy canes, I don't mind. I like it's a good little decoration or something nice to have out during the holiday season, but I don't really eat candy canes.
That wrap is a pain in the ass once you get to the curve.
Thank you. Yeah, what do you do with this? And then it breaks, and you're like, yeah, I guess that's fine, but now what do I do with it?
Yeah,
I love a candy
I'm
cane.
I'm telling you, I don't like either yeah. one, but if I got to eat one now year-round,
nog's nice.
I'm going candy cane.
You know what I got in the freezer
cane.
At home?
What's that now?
Eggnog ice cream with booze in it.
Oh, well, that sounds...
That just blow your yeah, brain?
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to eat it every day.
Where
but
can I find it?
Seasonally.
My freezer.
Is that so you don't get yelled at for drinking?
No. My wife brought it home the other day.
Oh, okay. Never
She's
mind.
Like, look at this. And I was like, holy smokes. That's a game changer. I may even put a scoop of that in with some other real eggnog.
Yeah, pour the...
More
yeah,
booze.
Now we're talking.
Like paint.
Make yeah. a float.
A little milkshake. Yeah, I might what's make the, a little milkshake.
What's the booze in the ice cream?
Whiskey, I think, this one. I usually just do like a spiced rum. when I'm making them at the house. But like, yeah, whiskey's good. Brandy. It's all good.
Have you said this? You store it up with a candy cane.
Yes. But that's next level.
You just don't eat the candy
That's
cane.
Next level spirit. No, you didn't toss it.
It's just a mixer.
Yeah, you hope you don't hit anybody with it. Yeah, just get rid of that.
Okay.
Hanging on the tree.
That's Would You Rather is every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. Pure Hoops with Terp coming up at high noon. We have the hashtag dork.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In it next.
One. This is movie time.
Shang-Chi.
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy have combined. Me and Billy have combined for one. Billy's 100 years old.
You and I will go see this new Marvel. People are saying it's actually nuts.
I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Nah, don't spoil it. Do not spoil it. What's going on?
Make sure you subscribe to
the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
All right, let's get to a dork minute here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, and a lot going on in the dork world. Jones, we'll get to some of these year-end lists that are coming out. We're no stranger on the hashtag dork podcast to that as well. Of course, the dorkies early in January will have all the awards.
Oh, so set your watch to it.
Oh, yeah.
Early January. Yeah, okay, nice. Yeah, the dorkies.
Yeah, it's always one of our best episodes of the year. Then it goes downhill for about 12 straight months, and then we jump back up with the dorkies.
Right,
and then,
that's perfect.
Kind of go down.
Build up some goodwill.
100%.
Fade.
Yep.
Goodwill fade.
Big fade.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
A big summer swoon. but the chair company is wrapped up. HBO sitcom, kind of a dark comedy starring Tim Robinson. And our old buddy Gary Tangway.
Tanger!
Appears in that show. And so we had him on the podcast last night. Davey and I talked to Gary Tangway. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
I did a play in a senior citizen home.
So there's more good stuff where that came from. But just pretty awesome. Like for me, like so cool. Like he was in scenes with Tim Robinson and just like talking with Tim, like about the scene or like off the air, like, you know, when they're shooting, like mm-hmm. what they're talking about. It's cool.
So
cool stuff. He's also in a movie coming out next month with Jamie Lee Curtis. Like pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He was in episode 4 of The Chair Company, like no dialogue,
briefly,
right?
Yeah. So they filmed like a scene, but they didn't put the whole scene in. So it was quick in episode 4, and then he had dialogue in episode 7. There's only 8 episodes total of the show. But they have a pretty crazy cast. Yeah, you know, from like I Think You Should Leave. Like they cast a lot of people. They find these like really interesting characters and actors and actresses and stuff. But the show is great. It's definitely like a WTF type of show. Like the finale. Nick watched it.
Yeah, the finale was WTF for sure.
Wild. I don't want to spoil it, but so we talk. It's sort of like a combination, like review of the show as well as just getting Gary's take on it. But so we did that last night.
And then I don't want to spoil anything in the latest hashtag dork episode. You should go check it out yourself.
Please.
He's buddies with Adam McKay.
Sounds like it. Yeah, he worked on Don't Look Up, which was a Netflix movie with Leonardo DiCaprio a few years ago. And I think it might have even got nominated for Best Picture. And Gary was only supposed to have a couple of lines. He kind of hit it off with Adam McKay and had like a bunch, he had like a bigger role than he thought he was going to in the movie. So all very cool. We just talk all about.
They bonded over pure hoops.
They did.
They bonded over
McKay,
pure
huge
hoops.
Basketball guy.
There you go.
He probably would love Terp.
That's he probably tunes in every Wednesday. Yeah.
The biggest thing going right now, though, Jones, is the return of Stranger Things. First four episodes of the final season came out the day before Thanksgiving. It's like the most watched thing in the history of Netflix. Like they keep track of that. They only tell you when they do well, when shows do well. But it did insane numbers, as you can imagine. We also did an episode on this. This will be available now on YouTube. You can listen to it on the podcast like later tonight. But I think off to a great start. I love this show, though. Like I love this stuff. I love the characters. So Stranger Things off to a good start. They announced that the finale is going to be over 2 hours long. That's going to come out on New Year's Eve.
That's a long finale.
So if you watch it at 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
You time that out just
you
right.
Can finish it in 2026.
Nice.
If you so choose. But yeah, it's also going to be in theaters as well as home on Netflix.
How are you going to consume that? Home?
Probably home. Not to brag, but I got a little surround sound set up in my Dragon's Lair.
That's so nice.
Yeah, I'll crank that thing up to 11.
Good. You got to get your money's worth out of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dairy has been really, really good. Talk with Wiggy about this. They have two episodes left. This is the Sunday night HBO show. Good little scary story. Good prequel stuff. Tying in all these Stephen King stuff we talked about. The box office. Jones, Zootopia 2. Did you see that bad boy?
I have not seen 2 nor 1, although Lucas has been buzzing about it because I think the ads are everywhere.
They
so
are
he,
everywhere.
He wants to go see it, but I've not seen it.
It made $100 million.
I thought I saw. Is it the greatest grossing animated film or something like that? It's way up on the list.
Possible. Although I feel like Mario Brothers was probably pretty crazy. But yeah, Zootopia 2. Now, I didn't like Zootopia. And I'll watch an animated movie with the rest of them. Did not like
it's
Zootopia.
Pretty, it's pretty much all I watch.
Yeah,
and
right.
I haven't seen that one, so I can't speak to it. But so, I did see it did well at the box.
That was number one. Wicked for Good was second, making $62 million. It's up to a total domestic gross of $272. So people are going to see this movie, although the reviews have been somewhat mixed. Then you get into like Now You See Me, Now You Don't, Predator, Badlands, and The Running Man. All right, I mentioned some of these lists. So Rolling Stone came out with their list of top 20 best movies of 2025.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure you've seen all of these. But the big takeaway was, and I don't know if this is just going for like the clicks and the engagement.
Could be.
Right? Could be engagement farming.
Yeah, it's fine.
Bob Ryan might be responding to Rolling Stone.
They want engaged. Part of their they want engagement. Of course they do, yeah.
No Sinners. On
that's
the list.
Bull.
Oh.
Yeah, I agree with C-Mac.
I stand with C-Mac.
I'm not telling you it has to be your favorite movie. It happens to be mine. But I'm not telling anybody how you feel about movies. But to say it's not one of the 20 best movies of the year, I think is insane. So the list is...
Yeah, what made it over it, yeah.
Number 20 was Weapons, which I love.
Yep.
Weapons was very good. Number 19 was Frankenstein.
Okay.
Also good, but not better than Sinners by any stretch. 18, Caught by the Tides. Never heard of it. 17, The Phoenician Scheme. Not for me.
No.
It's Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff.
If you've seen one, you've seen them.
Correct.
Yes.
Number 16, On Becoming a Guinea Fowl.
Oh, that's on Hulu, I think.
Is it? I've never seen that.
Okay, I can't speak to it.
Number 15, Orwell, :2+2=5, which famously it does not.
No, doesn't interest me.
14, Best Wishes for All. 13, Universal Language. Have never seen or heard of either of those. Number 12, Eddington.
Can I just say, by the way, if you've never seen or heard it.
Yeah. It's better than Sinners.
That's
there's right. A lot of foreign films on this list.
That's saying something, yeah.
So Eddington's 12th. I watched Eddington. Did not like it a lot.
This is the COVID film?
Yes. Joaquin Phoenix, Pedro Pascal, COVID. Number 11, Peter Hujar's Day.
Never seen or heard. Foreign film.
Okay. Number 10, Sentimental Value.
Not in theaters yet.
Nope. Number 9, Marty Supreme.
Not in theaters yet.
Which I do want to see. That's
not
the new
in theaters yet?
No.
Timothy Chalamet. Are like film festivals.
Oh, right,
it's
right,
the
right,
ping
right,
pong
right.
Chalamet movie, right, which I'm right, sure right, is right.
great. Yeah.
Sorry Baby at 8. Did you watch that, Nick?
I did. It was good. It's not my kind of movie, but it was good.
Okay. No Other Choice at 7. It Was Just an Accident at 6. Novella Vogue at 5. I don't know what this even is. Train Dreams at 4. Stiz and Nick really liked it. I did watch Train Dreams on Netflix. Good, but not better than Sinners. Black Bag 3, don't understand this. This is Steven Soderbergh.
Didn't like it.
Michael Fassbender. Didn't like it at all. It's free streaming somewhere. And then Hamnet 2, which is supposed to be like Best Picture contender.
Hamlet, I've heard of it, yeah.
Hamnet.
Oh.
And then One Battle After Another, which Wiggy told me he didn't like.
Wiggy
they had that number one.
Wiggy was not just telling you that. He was so fired up about it. The conversation carried right over to me. He just picked right up with me. He's like, I don't like it, Jones.
I think it's like
it's stupid, Jones. I don't like the premise.
I liked it a lot. I think it's the co-number one. I would go Sinners 1. I would go One Battle 2 on my big board.
Yeah, not co. We don't do co-number
one. I'm not doing
ones.
Co. Well, 1-2. Nick, do you have a 1-2 for this year?
I have One Battle After Another than Sinners.
Okay. I think that's how Davey views it, too. Other news and notes. Quentin Tarantino came out with his top 20 movies of the 21st century.
Oh, wow.
Which, again, I feel like you should do 25. That's what Davey and I did because it's been 25 years. But whatever. He did top 20.
Yeah.
And what's getting a lot of attention is at number 5, he put There Will Be Blood, which is the Daniel Day-Lewis movie. Very, very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Thomas Anderson directed.
You see that he hates Paul Dano because of that movie?
Yeah, I'm going to read it to you.
Oh, sorry.
So thanks, Nick. So he was on like a podcast.
I hear he hates Paul Dano.
Yeah. So he goes, There Will Be Blood would stand a good chance of being number one or number two on his list if it didn't have a big, giant flaw in it. And the flaw is Paul Dano. So you remember Paul Dano was like the younger kid Daniel Day-Lewis? It was like scene for scene with him. He goes, obviously, it's supposed to be a two-hander, but it's also drastically obvious that it's not a two-hander. Dano is weak sauce, man. He is the weak sister. Austin Butler would have been wonderful in that role. He's just such a weak, weak, uninteresting guy. The weakest bleeping actor in SAG.
Wow. So what happened?
Dano. What's
Austin
going on
Butler,
there?
Like 4 when that movie came out?
Austin Butler was 16 when that movie came out. So he's 7 years younger than Paul Dano.
What's going on with those two?
I don't get it. Paul Dano, I would argue, might be one of the 20 best actors of the last 20 years.
Huh.
He's awesome. You can't watch Prisoners and tell me that Paul Dano doesn't know what he's doing. But anyway,
Tarantino would.
Yeah, so Tarantino's list was interesting.
But that's like exceptionally personal.
It's one thing to be like, Daniel Day-Lewis is better. Or like, I didn't like him in this.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's the worst actor in the world.
In SAG?
That's crazy.
Come on. Worst actor in SAG.
There's got to be more to the story.
It has to be.
People were speculating on Twitter that maybe Paul Dano wouldn't show him his feet.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it was definitely a foot thing.
Not a foot guy. Yeah, something like that.
Well, then people were like, did he turn down a role? But there's no connection to that. Like, it's not like Tarantino wanted him in any of his movies. It's very strange.
Hmm.
We just dropped. That was an ornament over there off the tree.
Is that what that was? I heard that. I saw you looking at something. That's what that was?
Trees falling apart.
It's only
December 3rd. The Jones family don't even have a tree yet. This one's already falling apart this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Ordered.
Ours is up and out.
Ordered, being delivered, which we've never done. But ordered and being delivered on Saturday.
Did you get taken for a ride like Hart?
Probably. I don't.
Hart spent half a PS5
on one.
I'll
wait for my credit card statement and then I'll let you know.
That you get a measurement?
Yeah.
$150 a Christmas
tree. $225 Hart's tree.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
We might have to
Hart's
add that.
Christmas tree, $225.
Hart's Christmas.
Yeah, perfect. Add that to the glossary.
Get that in the show, Doc, would you? 617-779-7937. That is the hashtag Dork Minute. Every Wednesday at 11:45, every Wednesday at high noon. You know what time it is. Pure Hoops with Terp next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season,
from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.